Our scripture reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 10. We'll be reading verses 46 through 52. That's the end of the chapter of chapter 10, beginning with the 46th verse of Mark chapter 10. That can be found on page 847 in most of your pew Bibles. We continue our journey through Mark's Gospel with the 46th verse of Mark chapter 10. Hear now the word of the Lord. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Thus we've read verses 46 through 52 of Mark chapter 10. We are on our way to Jerusalem, the final weeks of Jesus' life. In fact, you may notice that the triumphal entry is next, and so we are probably in the last 8 to 7 days of Jesus' life at this moment. Jesus is literally ascending up to Jerusalem as they begin to walk up the mountain. And a great throng of people are following him. You may remember a few weeks ago when we heard that the crowd is amazed in verse 32. They're amazed and even afraid as they follow after Jesus as he goes up for the Passover to Jerusalem. People can tell that something important is in the air. And then Jesus stops on the road up to Jerusalem to heal a blind man. One last miracle for the crowd, so that they could see him fulfill yet another scripture proving that he is the Messiah, the one who has come to take away their sins. But before we dig too much into Jesus and Bartimaeus, it is important, I think, to note that this is one of the areas of the Bible that many people will point to say, "See, the Bible is not true. It contradicts itself. It's not accurate, and therefore you can't believe any of it." This story of Jesus, or this incident of Jesus healing a blind man, occurs in Mark and Matthew and Luke. If you were to read Mark's version, Mark only mentions Bartimaeus. Matthew and Luke both mention two blind men crying out for healing and receiving it in Matthew chapter 20, verse 30, and Luke 18, verse 35. Further complicating things, Matthew and Mark have this incident occurring as Jesus is leaving Jericho, verse 46, as he was leaving Jericho. Luke says it's as he's entering Jericho that he heals a blind man. And this is often used by people to say they're just making stuff up. The historical details, at the very least, can't be trusted. Because is he going into Jericho or is he exiting Jericho? Are there one or are there two? They don't even agree. But these objections are easily answered, and let me give those answers. First of all, we should realize that when one blind man, Bartimaeus, is being singled out by Mark, it does not exclude that there could be more. In fact, Mark is the only one that names any of the blind men. It seems indeed incredibly probable that Mark is singling out Bartimaeus because he believes his readers will know him. He wants them to say, this is when Bartimaeus was healed. Mark's gospel is written mostly for the Roman population. And perhaps they would have known Timaeus and his son, the blind beggar Bartimaeus. And so Mark includes the incident and gives the name, even though there was two blind men who were healed, he singles out only the one because he wants to point out, this is when Bartimaeus was healed, you can go ask him if you don't believe. So the very fact that Mark is just speaking of Bartimaeus does not exclude that there may have been another blind man there as well, crying out. And the leaving or entering is easily answered because there were two Jerichos. You'll remember the story of Joshua and Jericho where they destroy the city of Jericho, and one of the things the Lord tells them is, don't ever build a city here again. If anyone does build again on the foundations of Jericho, the same thing will happen to them. That'll be wiped out. So the people of Israel did not build Jericho back on the spot of the original Jericho, because they were told not to. And so, a short distance off was a town that they built that they named Jericho, even though it was not in the spot of the original ruins of the city of Jericho. They would have known where that was. And in fact, there are some archaeological evidence that people would have spoken of it either way. He was leaving the ancient ruins of Jericho, coming into the new city of Jericho, and therefore he is both entering Jericho and leaving Jericho when he comes across these blind beggars. So both Gospels are correct because they're speaking about different Jerichos. Both were on the road up to Jerusalem, and Jesus would have passed out of the ruins of one into the city of another. And at the gates is generally where the beggars were, trying to get travelers to throw them money. And that's where Jesus runs across Bartimaeus and probably his friend or his fellow beggar. And here he opens the eyes of the blind. Remember that this is up on the way towards the Passover. He's literally marching towards the cross. And the Passover was a time of great religious fervor, and he's followed by a crowd. They are all expecting something wonderful to happen at this Passover time. Many are probably even hoping that Jesus is the Christ. They're amazed and afraid, and so Jesus gives them one last sign. We should note that the crowd is meant to see this miracle. Often in Mark's Gospel, we've seen that Jesus has done miracles in private, and He has done miracles away from the crowd because He didn't want people to see. He would take a man outside of the town and clear up his eyes so that the crowd wouldn't see. He would walk on the water where no one could see except His 12 disciples. He took only 3 of the disciples up for His transfiguration. He raised a boy from the dead, only allowing Peter, James, and John in to see the resurrection and the parents of the child. He did many of these miracles out of the eyes of everyone, but this one is done specifically to be on display for the crowd. He wants them to see so that as they approach, they are prepared. He wants them one last time to see Him fulfill the prophecy of opening the eyes of the blind. Prophecies like Isaiah 29, verses 18 and 19, where it says, the blind will see and people will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. And here Bartimaeus is that man who was born blind, who will see the Holy One of Israel, and all of the people will know. In fact, notice in verse 48. Bartimaeus has been crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him and told him to be silent, and the crowd didn't want to hear it. They're aware of his pleas for mercy, and they want Jesus to pass by because they're probably excited to get to Jerusalem. They don't want him to have to stop over and over as people call out to him. But Jesus does stop and tells the crowd, "Call him." He doesn't call to Bartimaeus himself, but in fact, he involves the crowd. "You go get him. You who just told him to be quiet, now you tell him to come here." And they do. And so before all of their watching eyes, he asks, "What do you want me to do?" And he says, "I want my sight." And he gives it to him. And Bartimaeus is healed in front of everybody. One last miracle to try to open the spiritual eyes of all of these people who are following Jesus. These are the people who are going to start the cries of Hosanna. These are the people who are trying to usher Jesus in to Jerusalem, who want Him to be the Christ, and probably many of them will also soon be chanting, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." He is giving them one last opportunity to get it right. To see that He is the Holy One of Israel, that He is that promised Messiah, and that He is going up to save them from their sins, not in the way they expect, but in a way that is full of mercy and of grace. He is not pushing aside the needy. He is not ignoring the cries of the people. He is there to have mercy upon them. He is setting them in the right frame of mind, teaching them one last time through this miracle of who He is. He is that Son of David. Which, by the way, Bartimaeus is getting right. He's calling to Him and he's calling out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He even says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Equating Jesus with the Son of David. This is a reference to 2 Samuel 7. Son of David had become a title for that coming Messiah. And in that chapter, 2 Samuel 7, is where David is told, "You're not allowed to build the temple, but your son will build the temple. And you will have a son who will sit on the throne forever and build a house for my name." It's partially fulfilled by Solomon, in that Solomon does build the temple and Solomon does sit on the throne. But even the Jews knew that this was a prophecy that was greater than just Solomon. That there was someone who would reign forever and ever on David's throne. And who would build a house that would last forever and ever. And Bartimaeus crying out, "Jesus, Son of David," he is saying he believes Jesus to be the fulfillment of 2 Samuel 7. He believes this is a way to call Jesus the Messiah, to call Him the Christ. Notice verse 47. I believe the wording here is important to see the faith of Bartimaeus. It says, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was passing by," remember Bartimaeus is blind. He only hears the crowd and the commotion. He doesn't know what's going on. He probably is asking somebody, what's happening? What's going on? I hear lots of people. There's a big crowd. And somebody says, "Jesus of Nazareth is walking by." And he had heard of Jesus of Nazareth. So great was his fame. But Bartimaeus not only had heard of Jesus of Nazareth, he had already believed Jesus is the Christ. Perhaps Bartimaeus had placed himself on this road to Jerusalem with this very hope in mind, knowing that as the Passover came, that the Christ would go to Jerusalem. But he is told Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, and he cries out, not for "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me," but "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He hears it's Jesus of Nazareth, and he knows and believes Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Messiah. And he cries out with his faith. And even when they tell him to stop, he says, "No, no, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he continues to cry out until Jesus does indeed have mercy upon him. Bartimaeus believes Jesus is the fulfillment of 2 Samuel 7. He is the promised Messiah. He therefore believes Jesus can indeed heal his eyes, or else why would he bother asking? He's not asking for a blessing. He's not asking for money. He's asking, restore my sight. He knows that Jesus is the Son of David, and he knows the prophecy of Isaiah 29 that the blind will see and will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. And he says, I know you are that Messiah. Open my eyes, because I know you can. You are the one. And Jesus says, your faith has made you well. You are correct, and now you can see. Just as he spiritually is already opened with his eyes, now physically his eyes are opened as well. The Lord honors his request, performs the messianic prophecy, and opens Bartimaeus' eyes. Which leads us to another place where sometimes Mark chapter 10 and the blind Bartimaeus is taken out of context. Where Jesus says in verse 52, and Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and he followed him on the way. This is often misused today by people who say, look, we can have this healing today if we just have faith. If we have faith that God will cure our heart disease, or have faith that God will open our eyes, or faith that the Lord will do these things, then it will happen. That healing is based on our having faith in that healing. It's a common thing that you'll hear from preachers on television. And they'll even bother to stop and exhort you to say, listen, if you have faith, it will make you well. Your faith makes you well. You can have whatever you want right now if you just have faith. And that you can avoid the suffering, and you can avoid the sickness, and you can avoid the illness. Some will even go so far to say you can have money, and you can have health, and wealth, and power, and whatever you want. It's all based on the strength of your faith. And if you have it, you will be blessed in abundance. You can have your best life now. And if you don't have faith, then you won't have much. God will reward you according to the measure of your faith. And so if you have a small car and a small income, you've got a small faith. But if you've got three houses and a boat and an airplane, then you're a man of great faith. And they will point to this verse and say, look, it's his faith that made him well. Bartimaeus is healed by the power of his great faith. And that's missing the point entirely of what Jesus is doing in this chapter. His faith, first and foremost, is in the fact that Jesus is the Son of David. He is the Christ. He believes the promise of the Bible in Isaiah 29. He believes that the coming Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, opens the eyes of the blind. This is not faith in general. This is not faith that the Lord can do wonderful things, although those things are true. This is a specific faith that Jesus is the Christ, and that the Christ will fulfill certain scriptures. He clearly, rightly believes that the Messiah opens the eyes of the blind, and that Jesus is the Messiah, and therefore Jesus has the power to open his eyes. Also notice, his faith is a persistent faith. He's rebuked. He's told to be quiet and to stop, whether people just wanted to get to Jerusalem or they didn't want to be bothered by a blind man, or we have seen in the Bible that there was often the belief that someone might be blind because he was sinful in some way, that he was unclean already, and that his blindness was proof of the disfavor of God. You see that in John's Gospel, where the disciples ask him, who sinned, this man or his father? When they're talking about a blind man, a different blind man. And so maybe they don't want this man who they think is unclean and they think may have done something horrible to be anywhere near them and to Jesus, and they just want him to be quiet and let the crowd pass by. Whatever the reason, they've told him to be quiet. and to stop asking for things from Jesus, but he refuses because he knows in his heart he has faith in Jesus. Jesus is his only hope. And what the crowd says to do is not important. What the Pharisees say to do is not important. What Christ says, that's what's important to him. And he pursues it. And he stands ready to answer the call of his Lord and Savior. For when they tell him, take heart, he's calling you, he throws his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. He was ready. And when they told him, he wants you, he went. And Jesus then says, your faith has made you well. But is it his faith that heals him? That is a misreading of this verse. He's healed by Christ, which is what he is asking. He asks specifically, you can open my eyes. Rabbi, let me recover my sight. He doesn't say, I've got faith and therefore I know that my eyes will be open. No, he says, you can open my eyes. Do it. Jesus is commending his faith, not saying that it's the power of his faith that opened his eyes, or that by the mere strength of his faith he could gain or earn healings and blessings, as if the Lord was a giant candy machine and faith was our money, and if we have enough faith we can get bigger and better candy. Which is the way that many modern faith healers read this passage. It's the faith that makes him well. Just have the faith that your eyes will be open, and the Lord has to open your eyes. Jesus is commending his persistence and commending in the fact that he believes it's not just Jesus of Nazareth passing by, it's the Son of David passing by. He's saying, your faith in who I am has made you well. He is letting the crowd see that he knows and rightly has called out to me the Messiah. Not only through the miracle, but by saying, what you have been saying, Bartimaeus, is correct. I am the Son of David. This is what Jesus is teaching when he says, your faith has made you well. He's saying, your faith is rightly placed in me. He's not denying that Christ did the work. He is telling Bartimaeus, you're right. Your faith that I am Jesus, the promised Holy One of Israel who can open the eyes of the blind is correct. I am that Messiah. And that is why your eyes are now open. So that the whole crowd who was invited in and participated in this miracle can now see he is the Messiah. It is a clear affirmation that he is that Son of David. He is that Holy One of Israel who opens the eyes of the blind. He is the one they are waiting for. And notice, it's immediate. And immediately he recovered his sight. There's no delay. There's no timetable. There's no, if you have faith long enough, it'll happen. No. This is a miraculous healing from Christ and it occurs instantaneously. Jesus' power works the minute he wants it to work. Jesus gives sight by his word and it happens. God speaks and it is so. Jesus speaks and it is so. Because Jesus is God. But notice also that last phrase, and then he followed him on the way. Bartimaeus joins the group. He joins the throng. He is not going to sit outside Jericho. He's not going to go back to whatever his life was before. He doesn't even go back to his father who is mentioned here as Timaeus. He follows Christ up to Jerusalem. Notice the command that Jesus gives him in verse 52. Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. But where does Bartimaeus go? He follows Jesus on the way. He has what he's requested. He asked for his sight and it's given to him, and then Jesus even says, go your own way. Go the way that you want to go. Your faith has made you well. You have your eyes. Go about your life. And Bartimaeus says, the way that my life goes now is after you. You're the Christ. You're what I've been waiting for. I will now follow you. My way that I will go is now after you and following you in your way. Notice that he is not going back to life. The phrase "recover my sight" indicates that Bartimaeus was probably not blind from birth and does have a life that he could return to. For whatever reason, he has gone blind in his life. And he does not go back, despite the invitation from the Lord to go back to his life. He returns to his new life, following after Jesus, joining the crowd up to Jerusalem. And it's not a minor point. Bartimaeus gets exactly what he asks for. But he doesn't abandon Jesus. You can compare Bartimaeus with some of the other things that have gone in front. The rich young ruler came and he made a great display of his request. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, I did this and I've done that. Bartimaeus doesn't make a display. He just says exactly what he wants. He doesn't beat around the bush. He doesn't ask in a pompous way. He says, I want my sight back. He says, you're the Christ. You can give me my sight. I want you to give me my sight back. And Jesus says, well, then you have it. Go your own way. But Bartimaeus says, no. You're the Christ. My way now is in your footsteps. And I think we're right to assume that these things that come next, that Bartimaeus is there. He's a participant in the triumphal entry. Bartimaeus would have been in for the crucifixion. He becomes literally an eyewitness now, able to see these things with his new open eyes as he watches his Savior, the Holy One of Israel, whom he has confessed faith, enter Jerusalem and be crucified and then rise again from the dead. Bartimaeus is able to see it and experience it, and there's no reason to doubt that he wasn't there. Which leads me to a few applications. The first is we need to recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. It seems like a real simple application, but it's always one that we need to hear. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Lord. He is our Savior. It's easy in this modern world to forget who Jesus really is. We distort Him so very often. There are versions out there that always compete for our attention, robbing Jesus of His rightful glory, sometimes on purpose, sometimes on accident. Whether it's the picture of the long-haired hippie Jesus that some people point, or the 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus, or the Jesus standing at the door knocking, hoping we'll open the door, or Jesus playing with the children. Never let those images, some of them right, some of them wrong, obscure the plain and simple fact that Jesus is your Lord. He is your Savior. Don't miss that ultimate truth. It's the most important point. Jesus is the Christ. He is your only hope. And His purpose is to have mercy and to save you from your sins. Jesus' name is attached to so many things now that it's easy to get confused about what the actual message and the actual mission of Jesus is. The mission of Jesus is salvation. He is the promised Messiah. Another point is we need to take Bartimaeus as an example of persistence. A man who is not cowed by the crowd. Cry out to Jesus no matter what. He is the Lord. He is your Savior. He does hear your prayers. Not always on the first call. Maybe not even on the second. Bartimaeus cried out and Jesus kept walking. He says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus does not stop. And in fact, he cries out so much that the crowd is saying, hush, hush, hush. But he doesn't listen to the crowd. And he cries out again. And then finally Jesus does stop. And does answer his prayer. We must be persistent in our prayer life. Jesus later, or or in another gospel, also gives a parable of the persistent widow who nags a judge for justice over and over and over until he finally says, I will give her what she wants just so she'll shut up. And Jesus commends that persistence, and this is another place where the persistence is commended. Cry out and call on Him. Go to Him in prayer with faith that knows who He is. And don't stop. Continue to go before the Lord for all your needs, for all things. Continue to call after Him, or to call upon Him, which leads me to the third application, is follow after Jesus. This is the call that has gone on throughout the entire book of Mark. It started at the very beginning when Jesus gave the call to Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and He says, follow Me. And they did. And then He meets Levi, and He gives Levi the call, and He says, follow Me, and Levi did. There are also instances where He meets people, like the rich young ruler, where He says, follow Me. Verse 21 of chapter 10. Give everything you have to the poor and follow Me. And He doesn't. And here Bartimaeus gets what he asks for. And Jesus says, go your way. You choose what to do next. And Bartimaeus says, I'll follow you. The call to be a disciple is a call to follow after Jesus. To be a student of who He is. To follow His teachings. To follow the fact that He is the Christ. To confess and to obey His commands. That is the call that we take upon ourselves when we take His name as Christians. Bartimaeus is an example here. He follows after Christ. Followed Him on the way. We too are to follow Jesus on the way. Not the road up to Jerusalem, but the way that He has shown us. For He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's our only hope in salvation. And our call is to follow Him. Let us go to Him now in prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank You. We ask Your blessings. But most importantly, Lord, we thank You and ask for Your continued salvation. Help us as we go forth from here to follow You. Help us have a heart of faith that will persistently call upon You, that will go to You in prayer with all our needs, both spiritual and physical. Lord, help us never lose sight that You are the great Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.